I feel like I have to sit with this one. They're progressively getting a lot more dramatically impactful to me, these conversations I have with these women. Wow. She really reminded me of my mom. In such a heartwarming and bittersweet way. She really highlighted so many good points, too.
She's not bitter. She didn't seem to be. It's just matter-of-factly that this happens, but it has to change. She could have reamed every level of the coffee production piece of it. She didn't. Name calling.
I knew that she definitely seems like she has so much more information that she could have indulged us on. But I think overall, the biggest thing was what the topic was specifically about. And I think that I didn't even need to. I think that she was waiting for this. I didn't even need to really ask her anything, which I love. I love the fact that people can come on here and can just really vent. You know, because that's what this felt like to me. It was like, finally, I have all these things. I have all these thoughts. Somebody really cares and wants to know. And we need to talk about the system. Gender is a part of this. But the system needs to be corrected and brought to awareness and talked about. Because in the end, coffee is coffee. What about the people? What about what we're doing it for? Who it's affecting it? It's not supposed to be just about who creates the best cup at a 90 score level with limited quality defects. When it's like, she just said how the producing countries get the scraps. And it's like, and then Alexandra, the last episode, was talking about how a lot of these producers don't even get to try their coffee. And then it's just, it's wild. Like, I really was taken aback by certain things that she was saying and her. It's just a lot. Yeah. I just. Amazing people, though. She's just an amazing woman. She is resilient. Because she had to be, like she said, you know, like women have to always step up and be nonchalant about their survival instincts versus if we don't, we don't get anywhere.
And leading two separate lives.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have a feeling that's women around the world, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her comment about not celebrating March 8th.
That was wild to me.
Yeah.
I was wondering which direction she was going to go with that.
Yeah.
But then when she started getting into it, the more I'm like, you do realize we'll put women on a pedestal for one day and kiss the ground they walk on. And then the next day, got to show up, do everything all over again, and act like we didn't just do that.
And for us, 2 days, Mother's Day included.
Yeah.
I don't know if their country celebrates Mother's Day. They may have a Mother's Day variable of it, but yeah, I was impressed with that. Like, you're right. It's kind of a bullshit day.
It's a bullshit day because it's like, in reality, we should honor women always, and we should honor mothers also always. But it also is just an exploitation of like, hey, look what I can do for you. And I can exploit that on social media and look like I'm this amazing person just for the fact that this is just a national, I consider it a Hallmark holiday. So, yeah. Her interaction in, she said, the Galapagos Islands with that one producer. Wow, that one hit me, talking about, I love that she put him in his place. I love it. I love the fact that she has such a feistiness that's so nonchalant about her. I'm excited for her nonprofit that she collaborates with as well, for the Chain Collaborative, doing amazing things for different communities all across Latin America. And I love the fact that we had an opportunity for her to bring that on here.
That's a pretty good synopsis of it. That's a jaw-dropping episode.
I think a lot of people are going to listen to this episode and be like, holy shit.
It's that I wrote down cupping equals dollar sign price.
It's all an equation at the end of the day.
I'm trying to equate that to, I mean, I grew up on a farm-ish in the country. And agriculture in America is kind of set that way a little bit, but it's more of market value than it's a literal person sitting down drinking what you grew and said,
not knowing anything that goes into it, mind you.
Right. The cost factor of growing that to do that and then setting the price based on if the person had a good day and it tasted good. I mean, come on, talk about the variable of that.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing. And then we complain about buying a bag of coffee, ground, full beans, whatever it might be, and it's $3 a bag, $4 a bag at the lowest. Or we look at it as, you know, the signature series or the supposedly the great tasting coffee of $12 a bag, $15 a bag, and we complain about that.
I like that she also brought up like how we as coffee buyers and roasters like to exploit their daily life to an extent. I'm like, okay, so tell me how this is, but tell me about your farm, the family you grew up in, and then her bringing up the dog and everything. Because that's a thing. That it's like, we want to shine this product so much to exploit someone else's life and their lifestyle and just to make a profit off of a story that no one truly can understand because it's a cultural difference. It's a national difference. It's not just somebody making this in the ground in their backyard. This is like their entire like livelihood, you know?
And this doesn't have to stay in the podcast, but I wanted to ask you, that came to my mind too, when you were talking about origin story.
Yeah.
Is that where you were thinking about going with that origin story or more generically, this came from here? I mean, that kind of puts a different spin on what you do with origin stories, if you were going to go there.
Well, can I just say what really fucked me up was the fact that people have the damn audacity to go to these places and demand while they're there, this is how I want this processed and I want this like this. I was like, who the fuck do you think you are? Going to these people's homes, their livelihood, their entire career, they're busting their ass. Every aspect that goes into the coffee plant to picking the cherries to quality evaluation, the processing, the drawing, the packaging. And you have the audacity to go to these people who you don't know the culture, you don't know their family, you don't know their livelihood, their financial stability, none of this. And you're like, I'm going to demand this because I feel entitled to because I'm paying you. And I'm like, excuse me? Like,
I guess the question is, what breaks this? What stops it? I don't think abruptly, but is it the farmers collectively coming together to stop? Or I think it's multiple levels. Mm-hmm. Of course, it has to be, but. And I don't see it coming from the top.
Of course not. That would make them lose money.
Exactly. It doesn't come from the top, other than it could.
That's why people at the bottom right now are talking about it. Mm-hmm. People at the ground up are starting to talk about it because as soon as somebody makes enough noise, like Alexandra said, someone who's loud from the bottom, that's going to create a chain effect, a domino effect of people starting to bring it to awareness and talk about these issues that sooner or later, the top people who didn't think this was their problem to have to deal with are dealing with the collateral damage of neglecting this specific issue, which is the systemic issues that happen in the coffee industry.
Well, are you have a multitude of Camillas who truly say, how much do you want for this?
Mm-hmm.
That might actually be the level of where this ripple effect has the most effect.
Yeah. I guess that's also a point, because we're interacting more with the producers than the upper body is. So yeah, that would
make at least a negotiation or a range of, I can do this, but I can't do, you know, at least bring them in. But it comes down to the farmer then understanding expenses too. I think they understand what's going on though. I can't imagine they not knowing what nut they have to make. I would hope.
You mean the producer?
The producer, yeah. That we have to survive.
I mean, you also have to realize, Alexander said this in the last episode, producers don't even get to try the coffee.
Right.
Like, they don't get to do a lot of things. They're so used to the system saying, like, what are your needs as the buyer versus, like, these are our needs as the grower. So it's like, I wouldn't even be surprised if they couldn't come up with that information. Because one, mm-hmm. it goes down to people are requesting for stats for levels of care on this, the traceability, right? Mm-hmm. And then what if the producers don't have resources to provide that? So it's like all of these different attributes that producers have to think of. And then they have to also be scrutinized by a collective people who don't understand the process of coffee, judging their coffee for their value, and then choosing what's comfortable to them to put the price on. And then the producers have fed into this system for so long that it's like, it's created such a normal standard of this is how transactions work. And Camilla doing things that are different, I'm guessing probably it started off with, like she said, she's like, when she asked the producers, they were like, I don't know, what do you need? And then it's like, that's not the point, you know? Like, this is how ingrained it is in the system. So what can we learn from this episode, right? What have we learned? She said a lot. She said really good comments. She said a lot of good stories to bring it all together. And as much as we keep debating back and forth, what is the takeaway from this episode? And a lot of it comes down to what mothers have to be put through and the standard of living in corporate business, even on all cultural standpoints, because she's from Ecuador. And then also the systemic problem that producers have to deal with coffee roasters and coffee buyers, along with that disconnect. She kept bringing that up as well. So what she's deciding to do to change things little by little for her business and for her work is connecting with the producers on a personal level, understanding their livelihood and what they have to need for financial stability, and asking them to help set a price. That gives so much more freedom for the producers and what they're creating product-wise. And as the buyer, you have a good conscience as to working with these people and then continuing to build that relationship. She said that people don't tend to come back and talk to these producers. They're like, okay, cool. Thanks for your coffee. Bye. Next person, next farmer, next people. And it's like, oh, cool. I guess I'm just like constantly giving and pumping out this product. And then like, I'm just at the end of the day, the little man left, you know? I'm very grateful for having worked with a great mentor who actually established this kind of fundamentals with coffee buying, coffee grading, coffee quality early on, because he had learned all of this from the ground up in origin. He created relationships with specific farmers, continuously worked with those farmers, has still maintained these relationships, being in the industry for at least over 10 years. And like, that's what it is at the end of the day. I know that she, and I know a lot of different people in the industry hate saying, like, the main reason why I'm still in the coffee industry is the people. Oh, the people. But at the end of the day, sadly, that cliche is the truth. It's the relationships you make with these people, not even just for the fact that you get to work side by side, if possible, with the producers. when you know who they are as characters, as personalities, as actual people, rather than just farmers and producers, the disconnect you have in terms of that being a business-oriented conversation and that being a personable conversation are very different.
Anything else? It's a great end. It's a great outro for this, what you've just talked about. That'll end it nicely. And I like this synopsis. The synopsis of it's good. It's good.
I think the biggest thing that I could really like that's going to stick with me after this episode is please interact with the farmers differently. Be aware of what you're doing. Be aware of when you're judging people. Be aware of when you're cupping. And don't be so stickler on these defects and what they create overall for the cup experience. And do what she's doing. Take the defects. Make a cup. Understand the differences. Does it really deteriorate the quality of the coffee? Or is it just the standard that anything that has any defect is no longer a good cup?
Like she said, she's been drinking it for 40 years. Still alive.
I know. I loved that.
That's where I would love to have some video from this, but I'm glad we're not. But there's just those few little things that mm-hmm. she dropped.
She had so many great facial expressions throughout the entire episode. That's why, like, sometimes I would laugh with no real context because it's like, these are face-to-face Zoom interviews, but when it's happening and people are giving me reactions to the questions I'm asking, it's always just so great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gold. It's gold because it's just like, oh my gosh, that look encapsulates the answer you're mm-hmm. going to give. And get ready for it.
I will say I really do wish she said what the mantra was.
That's interesting. She didn't want to, and I think I understand, I hope I do at least, where she might be coming from, because I think this was a very...
She must have felt very, like, taking a leap on this episode to say a lot of the shit that she said.
Probably so, because I think she was still guarded with a lot of stuff she said. Because I think she knows a lot more, like you said earlier, and could talk a little bit, a lot more about it. But obviously she has her bad days. She has to. She has to be fed up.
I could tell. I could tell.
Yeah.
Based off of just the tone that she was using on certain subjects, like her being a mother in the industry and how she's had to face a lot of the issues mm-hmm. with the men in the industry. Like, I could hear it.
Yeah.
She's irritated. And she was glossing it over, obviously. But there are certain subjects that I could see that she's like got a lot of agitation with no real like outlet to release it.
Right. She's had to swallow it. She's had to. Yeah.
When she said thank you for creating the space for people, I'm like, that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, I'm glad you had a place to talk about it, to relinquish a lot of these things. And hopefully some people will be inspired or find emphasis is while working in the industry as to make effective awareness and changes.
I think it goes to what you're talking about too. People, you know, your guests have been wanting an outlet. You have the questions ready. You don't really share them with them, but you just give them a couple and whew, they're mm-hmm. off to the races.
And it's really interesting. Speaking of these questions, the questions, I don't even have to ask all of them. Because they end up answering them all. They end up just combining a lot of the answers for a lot of these questions. So at one point, I just like stopped looking at them. I was mm-hmm. just like, she already answered all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her specific story. Not all people in the industry are going to have all of these specific scenarios where they're applicable to their experience.
Right. You don't get touched by this one Your heart is hardened. Or rethink about when you go get a cup of coffee at wherever. Probably the guilty ones are the big names. You just don't think about where it really, really, really came from.
I will say, though, from a consumer standpoint, watching customers come and try our coffees or whatever, next time you open your mouth about coffee being too expensive, understand what all goes into that before you open your mouth and spare your dollars for what you're purchasing.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do an intro while you're on a roll? So everything you've been talking about so far has been a great
outro
because it references things that happened.
Do you think there's anything we can use in the beginning of the actual podcast when she first signed on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just as a...
like what we were doing with Alexandra's episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We didn't do an intro for
yeah,
hers.
I think we just jump in. Oh, well, that's true. We don't have to.
I like the casual
let's
jump
just don't,
in.
Let's don't then. I didn't know the if outros, you wanted to because of what we talked about, you know, in regards to the topic.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea to keep an intro not formal and then keep the outro as an accumulation, synopsis, conclusion, last
good.
Minute thoughts.
Okay, that's cool. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Okay, yeah. I think there are some bits and pieces to edit out of this, but I really like what we're doing with this as bonus. I think I can take you had long thoughts of speaking there, like two or three times, and I've edit some of that out, edit me out a lot of that, and make that the outro. But you could, you know, I still think what we did here is important, and just say bonus. The post-show talk, and it could be available somewhere. Mm-hmm. And even that's because we're talking an hour and 26 minutes. I think people will get through that, but I don't think they want to hear specifically necessarily. But I think there's a lot of good stuff we did in the outro that you said that could be post-show, official part of the episode.
I'm not opposed to that, actually. I kind of like
and
the
then
way that
the
works.
Because you mentioned it before.
Yeah, we did.
Before we began an episode saying, what do you think about doing a post-show? Post-episode, just to kind of...
I mean, it's good that it's you, because you have, obviously, podcasts and radio experience.
Well, and I'm listening firsthand right away, here, that it's affecting me now.
How did this episode make you feel?
Like shit.
Yeah.
It really did. Not that I am guilty of any of this, but it's of going and asking them to roast us specifically, you know, those sorts of things. But it made me feel bad that you don't know this is going on for just a freaking cup of coffee.
It's the quality
honestly.
Scrutinizing for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like all of the scrutinizing for the best cup of, like there's a whole platform for best cup for so many different countries. And the way that it is stripped to the idea of what coffee does just to receive a specific score for a specific sum of money has created this whole franchise within the specialty coffee world where it's like, if it's not above a certain score and if it's not with this limited amount of quality issues, it's not going to sell well, you know?
It feels like they tried to do the journey of wine. Wine does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Beer, wine.
The hoity-toityness of slurping the wine and spitting it out. And that's the taste test. And the better it is, the more expensive it can be. But it's designed by these guys up here.
Mm-hmm.
That have no clue where it came from. I've never traveled to the country where it came from. Never. Probably. I'm going to assume. Because how does this not affect you if you ever go there? How does it not? Unless you're just totally
yeah, I can only
cold-hearted
imagine.
And don't care.
I can only imagine that if you travel to these origin sites, meet the people, have a relationship, and then you leave and you haven't had a changed experience, you're obviously not in the right place.
And yeah.
Like, you're not in the right space and you're not in the right career.
Yeah.
Because this is such a bigger than us situation. Like, we have privileges that a lot of countries don't. We have a lot of outlets and resources that make things accessible that a lot of places don't. And it's like, if you leave without wanting to have some level of change happening, then you're not in the right field. At least in the industry.
You may not be human.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's that cup is that important.
To somebody's life.
And I guess these people exist. She mentioned it. It does exist. But the system allows it.
Yeah.
The system allows it. It may even encourage it. It might.
I can't wait to have this episode out. Genuinely. Every episode's progressively
built
getting...
Built up to this.
Yeah. Bailey's was a great beginning.
It's built up.
Alexandra was the first one to really start putting her voice out there. And then Camilla is like, just... Yep. Let me also give you more information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to continue to be this way.
Yeah.
These women have such amazing stories. I swear to God.
Yeah. And no one's asking. No one's, especially in the country they're in, wanting to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Just,
it's been generations. Good, bad, or the other. That's what it is. And it's got to change little by little. Has to change. And that doesn't mean it's going to be any more expensive for anybody. Honestly, it's just a better life. And even reading between the lines of her nonprofit, so these folks can't make enough money growing coffee. They have to diversify, which they should. I think it's a safe play as somebody in agriculture. You should. That makes sense. Chickens. Whatever else, you know, that was going on with them broadening their scope of what they produce.
The indigenous country one in Colombia?
Mm-hmm.
God damn, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we're taking back our land and we're taking back our resources and we're going to claim it for ourselves. Love that. I love mm-hmm. the fact that it's also community-led.
Yeah.
Because it's like the people who have the power are the people who it's affecting the most. The community. It's the people that are on the ground.
All right.
It's like, hey, all we have in terms of power is resources and funding. Go ahead, go crazy.
All right.
God, I literally didn't know what I was signing up for this episode. I was so nervous to talk to her because I barely spoke with her at the retreat. And I basically had the most minimal contact with her in terms of trying to secure a date to record. And then this is what the outcome was. Just such good quality conversation and good quality story life experience. I'm telling you, every episode that we keep doing is going to reiterate a lot of the reason why I keep doing this podcast and why I keep getting inspired to continue doing this podcast and why I keep wanting to talk more about this subject.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brain, as soon as these episodes end, as soon as we get off the phone with these people, who's next? Every time.
I was going to go there going, okay, how are you going to top this one?
I know. I think we've said that every time.
It's not necessarily the goal. That's not the goal, is to top every episode, but it is, where does the arc
of
where you want to go with this?
I don't even think it's going to be competitive. I think it's just going to consistently show itself.
It's a story.
It's going to show itself every single time how this is going to continuously get deeper and more involved with a person's life. And they're like, these are people's lives, heritages and livelihoods and careers and businesses. And like Alexandra was talking about how her family, it goes down to her family having coffee farms and how it was so integrated within her life. So now she's doing what she's doing. Camilla is the same. She's from Ecuador, which is a producing country, and she's seen what it does for the community, all of these things. So, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think we're good?
I think so.
I feel good.
I think, I'm going to hit it, that this post stuff, whoever may listen, is kind of good for you. You need to talk it out. It's a lot of stuff.
I know. I want to discuss these things.
Every episode has a lot of stuff that you need to unwrap and kind of talk it out. And it's therapeutic for you. And I think as a listener who gets to listen to this bonus stuff, you need to reach out to you. It's like, this touched me too.
I would love to hear people's takeaways and how, if they have any want to change or want to participate.
Did it make you think differently when you bought your next cup of coffee?
Yeah.
If it did, good.
Right.
Good. And that's a lot of it too, is maybe in the future, figure out what can we do here? Because it does feel a little helpless. What do we do?
It's not even the fact that people don't want to help. It's like outlets, you know?
That's true. It's that, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to make a little bit of difference? Because I love to drink coffee. So where can I help?
Right.
What do I do? Yeah. Who do I avoid? Who do I not buy from? Who are the biggest culprits? Without necessarily naming names, but you can pretty much generalize who you shouldn't be going to because they're taking advantage of the farmers the most.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, who are you supporting financially? And take away the social media bullshit. Mm-hmm. No one gives a fuck if you post your picture on goddamn social media, because at the end of the day, no one gives a fuck about it.
It goes away just as quick as the cup of coffee does.
Exactly.
It just does. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, and you could probably talk to it more than I can. I think the local, the small coffee shops are the place that you want to probably, if nothing else, strike up the conversation to see what's going on there. Because you're not going to get that answer from a Starbucks or a larger one. Because not that they don't want to talk, they just don't know. I think the smaller, like, who you work with and who you know, have a bit more insight on what is going on. Where did they get the beans? What's going on?
See who actually cares about the passion of the product versus the passion of the profit.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, use your instinct, engage that when in terms of interacting with people and wanting to learn more, because you can tell and you can see it and how people hold their work and how they navigate it with other people that aren't in the industry.
Right. Yeah. Just open your eyes, open your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And from this episode, you should be able to ask an intelligent question. You should. Just stay curious.
Yeah.
That'll help you. And that maybe is all we can do. Maybe. I don't know. Because we're at the end. The end user has the choice of where they buy, of course. And that is pretty much the biggest thing we can do and the best thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the way a certain place does what they do, then you don't shop from them. You don't buy from them. You don't drink their coffee. Find somewhere else, because the coffee is just as good, probably better.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
I think that's a wrap. I think we're good.
I think so.